is a program to trigger people who are programmed. It's to leave thoughts safe, space out.
Look at my African American over here. Look at him. Are you the greatest?
Sure enough.
I can't hear you.
Sure enough.
All right, defendant, state your claim.
Will your honor, my nigga? The thing is...
All right, I heard enough. Sick of this.
White people to move to the back and make room for my black and brown brothers and sisters.
The NNFL Network, in conjunction with entitled Sociopathic Predatorial Nignogs...
Heavens to Murgatroyd!
Greetings. Welcome to the safe space, a safe space for commentary, not from commentary. I hope that all is well with you and yours on this 14th day of March in the year of our Lord 2019. I'm Talib Starks, the founder and CEO of this bank of information. And these are my hardworking tellers who help maintain the bank's integrity.
It's crack-a-lacking.
That's right. Don't be rude, fellas. Say hi to our loyal customers.
Doing? What's up, customers?
Yo.
Right, here we go.
How you live?
All is well. I have like a pounding migraine.
Oh, word.
Yeah, so let's try to do my leveled best, to make it through. Hello. Oh, there we go.
I didn't know you were a girl.
Wait, what?
You said you had a migraine. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend gets.
Okay, Garrett is on the board first. I remember, I have a long memory, my friend. And you know what? I said that you guys were the foundation to help maintain this bank's integrity. So what I need to do is I need to give you guys I'm not even going to call it a surprise quiz, but I just need to give an aptitude test to ensure that the mindset still satisfies the safe space standard, which is really no standard. So let's do this. Jay, I'll start with you.
I
consider this a performance. What do they call them at the job? I haven't had a job in years. What do they call those? You guys haven't had one either.
A proposal or something?
No.
A pitch?
No. These are performance reviews.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. Right?
Oh, you're going to give us performance
yeah.
reviews?
Yeah. If you want to work at the Bank of Information, you have to maintain a certain level of proficiency. So,
fair enough. What's up,
Jay?
How am I doing?
Finish this sentence. Money is the root
of all
of
evil.
All...
Oh shit! You paused. I'm just on my game, bro.
Okay. Well, that's the wrong answer. Wealth is the correct answer. Money is the root of all wealth.
That's right, baby.
See, you went all biblical with it. I'm trying to stay practical.
It's wealth.
And keep it into the frame of capitalism.
Stacking them greenbacks.
Yeah, okay, Jay? So,
right.
Money is the root of all wealth, all right? Save the biblical stuff for your for church.
For Sunday,
yeah.
Yep.
But the love of money is the root of all evil, if we want to get biblical. Is the root of all evil. All
right.
Okay. The booth is 0-1.
Oh.
Steve, you're back.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, my friend?
Great.
Well, I'm just giving a pop aptitude quiz for my booth guys. So,
excellent.
You're next. Right
here.
On time. Yeah. Steve, can a woman turn you into a billionaire?
No.
Ah, Steve, the correct answer is yes. Yes. A woman can most certainly turn you into a millionaire if you're a billionaire. All right?
Yes.
That's no joke, Garrett. That's real. If you're a billionaire, a woman could turn you into a millionaire with her magical lady powers. Okay, the booth is 0 for 2. And this is why I'm going to save the easiest question for Garrett to break the streak. He's going to break the streak for sure. Garrett, why does your name have two R's and two T's? Wouldn't one of each suffice?
Garrett? My name's Garrett.
So you have to put an extra R and an extra T to get Garrett?
You're Talib.
I knew you would go ahead and answer with an answer, a question with a question, and try to flip it. No. I'm the founder and CEO. And besides, my name has to differentiate between, what's the freshman congresswoman? Talib. She spells it T-L-A-I-B, which is like.
Oh, like Aqib Talib.
Yeah, well, his is T-A-L-I-B. She has like two consonants for T-L. And
oh,
A-I-B.
Really?
Yeah. That's bullshit. That's not how spelling works.
Anybody want to look it up? Just double fact check me, please. And they call her Talib, and I'm thinking, how the hell did they get that out of that? Look it up. I'll wait.
T-L-A-I-B.
There she is. Rashida. They pronounce that Rashida Talib.
Talib.
Yeah. Talib.
Talib.
Yeah.
Talib.
The J. I'm on J. There you go. Ib at the end.
Talib.
Yeah.
Talib.
Talib. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's why, Garrett, to answer your question, there shouldn't be any doubt as to how to pronounce my name. With the extra E, long E sound. Not that bullshit she has going on. But anyway, you never answered why there are two R's and two T's. At least an answer that I was satisfied with.
Because he's Garrett and he's retarded. Yeah, that's what you need the extra R and T for. No? Right.
Survey says? Okay. All right, well, I guess no answer is the correct answer, Garrett. Still, the booth is going 0 for 3. And you know what that means? You know what that means, Booth? 0 for 3? That means you've passed with flying colors.
No,
you
that's
guys,
what I thought.
Give yourselves a hand.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, you are a tier one talent.
That's right.
God damn it.
There you go. And you know what? Your high aptitude proves once again that you're truly overqualified, yet underpaid for the safe space teller position. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do.
Pay us more?
I'm going to double your pay. How about
Whoa.
That? Yes. That is a prerequisite to maintain talent. Is any Keith around anywhere?
I'm making $240,000 a year now. This is fucking awesome, dude.
Hey, double nothing, still
good.
Nothing. I don't like
I
this.
I want to buy a house, so boom.
Well, I mean, you guys know I don't actually pay you money, but I pay you with a more valuable currency called respect.
Had a feeling you were going to say that.
Respect.
Put some respect on my name.
Yeah, that's what I'm doubling the respect. All right? You guys get double.
Yo, respect, right. Bro. Right back at you.
And since I'm doubling the respect, fellas, your pay increase is effective immediately.
Sweet, because I ran out of respect. I was wondering if you could, like,
yes.
Front me some respect.
Yeah.
Till next
yes.
Respect paycheck.
You know, and don't pay it back. Whatever I give to you, that means I can afford to give.
And you don't care what I spend this respect on, right?
I just don't want you. As long as you don't spend it in one place.
You ain't going to judge me. All right, cool.
No.
Guilt-free loan. Right. I like this.
So, yeah, because from this moment forward, consider your pay doubled. No strings attached except for, Jay, don't spend it all in one place. And if you guys want, you can show me some appreciation. That'll work.
He's a jolly good fellow.
You guys don't seem into it.
He's a jolly good fellow.
Yeah?
He's a jolly good fellow.
Turn it up.
Which nobody can deny. Nobody can deny.
Nah, nah.
Which nobody can deny.
Not deny.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow.
jolly good fellow.
He's a jolly good fellow. Nobody can deny.
That was excellent.
You guys are too kind. Yes. Yes, I'm a jolly good fellow that nobody can deny. That is an irrefutable fact. And a charitable soul to boot. But this celebration isn't about me. It's about you guys. You guys with the big hearts who are the wind beneath my sails, the wind that guide this vessel.
We're like a zephyr.
Your fancy words. Dude. Well, spend it wisely, Jay. Speaking of spending, there's a saying, let us all be happy and live within our means, even if we have to borrow the money to do it. I don't know if you guys heard that saying before.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Okay, apparently you have. And that saying, I believe, aptly describes the average American. We're born free, but will likely die in debt. So not only does it apply to the average American, the saying is also applicable to the national debt, which I believe is the woolly mammoth in the room that's being ignored. How many of you knew that the national debt recently reached a record high of $22 trillion? How many of you knew that? This shocking benchmark was reached nearly a month ago. And because the government characteristically spends more than it receives, this debt will likely continue to rise. And for your information, Booth crew, the basic definition of the national debt is the amount of money, along with interest, that the U.S. government owes its creditors. You're welcome. And in full disclosure, I'm not an economist, so today I won't play one on TV. Still, many of us just don't care to understand how much the national debt affects us.
Wait, you own a bank and you're not an economist?
No, I'm an investor.
An investor?
Yes, I'm a captive. Yeah. I'm a venture capitalist.
Is it all this respect you're giving us that's going to fade away like Venezuela?
Yeah, man. What's the real deal?
No, no, no. My respect, it lasts as long as these the notes in Zimbabwe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, little inflation here and there, little hyperinflation, deflation, but still, you still have the currency. So I was saying how, before I was really interrupted that, with some nonsensical question about my position as CEO of this bank of information, how our concern as the average American is centered on the immediate promoted distractions of politics or politricks and entertainment. I mean, and entertainment. So that's the problem. Stop effing around playing all the goddamn time. And the country is going in another direction. Playing too much. Pay attention. But I'm also guilty of playing too much sometimes. And being willfully ignorant. Because I looked at the national debt as the government having more fun than it's supposed to. Like my wife with our credit cards. By the way, my wife's favorite book is The Checkbook. Okay, Garrett, I was wondering if you would catch that. Her favorite book is The Checkbook. That's a true story. And it's not really funny. But instead of buying yet another pair of shoes like my wife.
Checkbook jokes, I hated that.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Bill gets me. But he's an actual comedian.
I thought it was a good joke.
Thank you, Steve. Steve, you're working on that triple. That triple. I've doubled the pay. I can go triple.
Triple. I mean, I laugh at all your jokes.
Thank you.
So I don't
know
what that equals.
that's triple, at least triple. And you know what?
He's not a comedian, dude. He's a fucking journalist, and he's got awards. So get it right.
Jay, who are you talking about? Me?
Bill.
Oh, Bill?
Awards don't mean shit out in these streets.
Yeah, dog. This is real.
Yeah.
Real life.
Can't feed your kids with awards.
Fuck no.
You know what I'm saying?
Feed them with penises.
He's such a journalist, he said, I'm a well-rewarded journalist, which means nothing.
Motherfucker ain't even good at words, but he writes them.
Sometimes when you're a journalist, you can write things and say it a different way, you know? That's the artistic freedom you have, or the journalistic freedom, rather. So, where was I before I was really interrupted with some obscure comment about journalists?
You just told a hilarious joke about a checkbook.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. My new crew chief. Then my new chief teller. Thank you. Yeah, I was talking about my wife's shoes, but I was comparing her purchase power to the government, where she buys shoes, the government will buy another piece of military equipment, like a stealth bomber. You know, stealth bomber is what, $1 billion? So the government goes in and they're like, give me one in black, but smoked out like the Batmobile. And why not give me another one for white? If I get two, can I get a deal? No, I can't. Well, fuck it. Give me the white one anyway. You know, the white looks great when it's waxed. I'm sure it does for that stealth bomber. And why not buy a little something for our lady palettes? Something a little fuchsia, maybe? Sexist joke. But seriously, President James Madison called our public debt a public curse. Whereas President Herbert Hoover put a biblical spin on the debt by saying, blessed are the young, for they shall inherit the national debt. Yeah, that was the big guy, Hoover. You know, Hoover Dam. Does that ring a bell? Anybody heard of the Hoover Dam?
Vacuum cleaners?
Yeah. How did I know? he said, blessed are the children, for they shall inherit the national debt. But if you think about it, or if you look at it this way, as my man Dave Temple would say, that assessment is harsh, but true. The kids will indeed inherit the debt. And maybe they should, because it'll be compensation for the food, clothing, shelter, and other expenditures that us parents incurred for their asses. Can I get an amen from the booth?
Amen.
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 Fun fact, none of the booth crew has, none of them have kids.
No, I have a dog and a cat. So it's pretty much the same.
Oh, I hate when people say that.
I know.
I've come in a bunch of different women, so I can't really. I probably don't.
I'm going to have some kids soon. Fuck yeah.
Okay. All right. We got two dogs, a cat, and a guy who practices unprotected sex. And we got a.
Raw dogging.
Yeah. And then we got a guy who's in the making. He's working it out. Still no kids. But back in April of 2016, the cover of Time magazine read that every man, woman, and child effectively owed $42,998.12. There it is, $42,998.12. This is how much each man, woman, and child effectively owed to erase the U.S. debt, which was $13.9 trillion at the time. A cool payment of $14 trillion in April of 2016 would have made America solvent again. Now, Jay, do me a favor, my friend. pull up a live shot of the debt clock. Now, look at the U.S. national debt. There you go. Now, as you can see, remember, we were the debt at that time. The debt at that time was
13.
No.
13.9 trillion.
13.9. Right. You got to put the 0.9.
All
right. Yeah.
So about $43,000 a person.
Oh, yes, sir.
And now it's 22. Damn.
Whoa. Look at this, Jay. $43,000 per person. 3 years later, it's almost $67,500. Almost. Debt per citizen. And that burden is almost tripled for individual taxpayers. Look at the right of debt per citizen. You see debt per taxpayer. And that debt is $180,000 and a half, almost, 0.6. Jeez. Now, you may wonder, or you maybe not, but I sure enough did, why this lopsided burden for the taxpayer versus just the average citizen? Well, Jay, if you can scroll over to the right where it says U.S. population, there you go, bottom, see it? There at the top, see it? Over U.S. population, to the right. Yeah, U.S. population. Nearly 330 million people. Now, just below is the number of taxpayers. 122.5 million. Now, did you notice that the number of taxpayers constitute less than half of the citizenry? Half. So, from my quick math, and again, I'm no economist, but taxpayers are the few who are doing the heavy lifting to sustain the many. Anybody, am I wrong here? Anybody else see this, or is it me?
None of us are economists.
But if you got less than half the people paying taxes.
Who doesn't pay tax?
My illegitimate children don't pay taxes.
You have illegitimate children, Steve?
No.
Oh, okay. And child support, be careful.
I don't pay tax on that either.
Sheesh, man. But, you know, bring that back one more time, Jay, because I think, I don't want to oversimplify the clock, but I don't know. It's fascinating to me. I think this should have its own public access channel. The clock. Just go there. Then maybe just replace CNN and just put the clock up there. Okay, Jay, one last thing. Look at right where we were. Hold up. Right where we were at the U.S. population on the right. Can you scroll all the way up to the dollar? Is it green? Top green? Oh, there we go. The dollar supply added in 2019. Look at this. Look at the dollar supply. Does this number stop? Does it ever stop or slow? I mean, these numbers are, I don't know, I'm fascinated by this whole thing. All right, thanks, Jay. So how did we get to $22 trillion when the debt was half that a decade ago? Unfortunately, there isn't enough time on today's show to delve into it. However, there is time to take a glimpse at the last 10 years to just give a brief overview of what happened within the last 10 years. When Barack Obama became president in 2008, he said that he found the national debt doubled and wrapped in a big bow waiting for him in the Oval Office. And so, what did he do next? Well, he did what his predecessor did. He added to it. But he added to it in the way that a drug addict does with a habit. His administration racked up nearly as much debt in 8 years than in the entire history of the country. He entered with a $10.6 trillion debt and left the country owing $19.9 trillion, almost 20 million. I mean, almost 20 trillion. I'm not even used to saying the word trillion, so I might slip up a few times and say million. This trillion is just like, this is another galaxy word. But the average amount he owed per year through his term was $1.16 trillion. Now look at how the roller coaster's upward trajectory really began to take off in 2009. And this is one roller coaster that I believe will never come down. However, in 1835, President Andrew Jackson did briefly pay off the national debt, partly with the proceeds from Native American tribes. Thank you very much. And from my research, that was the only time in our history that we didn't owe. Now, candidate Donald Trump, who once said, "I'm the king of debt. I understand debt probably better than anyone." I have a horrible Donald Trump impression, but anybody can do a Donald Trump? Can you do a Donald Trump, Steve?
No.
No? Okay. All right. So I couldn't say what he said in the Donald Trump. It would have been livelier. More lively, rather. But he said, "I'm the king of debt. I understand debt probably better than anyone." And he stated while campaigning that he'd eliminate the U.S. debt in 8 years. 8 years. Once elected, rather. Now, show the other slide, Jay. This one. Yeah, there we go. Now, President Trump is on track to leave it at least 50% higher, according to the Washington Compost. And Reason.com wrote that Trump's proposal budget would add $7.9 trillion to the national debt over the next decade, with the real outcome likely being worse since the budget relies on overly rosy assumptions about future economic growth. Sheesh. My fellow Americans, you better learn how to make your bank account more active than your social media accounts. I'm telling you, we're playing musical chairs, and eventually the music will stop playing. And you know what happens when you stop playing, for those of you who play musical chairs. You get stuck, like Chuck, with a finger in your butt. Well, not exactly that way, but you get the point. Hey, Jay, I need a sip. Dang. I might even have to cut back on the quality of this tea and the quality of my gas to get prepared for worst case scenario. Or maybe I'm just overblowing things. Maybe the national debt isn't really a national crisis. After all, no one else is sweating it. Look in the booth. Guys are having a great time. They're chilling out. Life is good. And this is where I take my cues from my guys. So, I don't know. Nobody else. Maybe I should just chill. But there is someone who is keeping an eye on it and is concerned. He's my esteemed guest, Benjamin R. Durker. And he's from thefederalist.com. And he recently wrote a timely article titled "Seven Ideas for Making Congress Solve the National Debt Crisis." He should be on his way. Now, let me know when he's here, Garrett, because we have some talking to do. Get down to the nitty gritty. There he is. He's a phoner.
Hey, good afternoon.
Benjamin, my man, welcome to the safe space.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, just I want to let you know that this is a safe space for commentary, not from commentary. So be yourself and speak freely. Okay?
Perfect.
Now, before we discuss your insightful article, I need to know if we should be worried about the ballooning debt, or are we okay because some economists say that the national debt is vastly different from a typical household's debt.
So it definitely is different. I think the question to answer, though, is who is the we, and are we okay now? I think young people are not going to be okay. Older people, because they're not going to have to face the consequences, are fine. They're not going to see a huge depression in the next 5 to 10 years, I don't think.
Okay.
But young people like myself, we're going to have to pay huge taxes in the next 20, 30 years or face a huge depression if we ultimately fall off the cliff.
So all of the kick in this can, the kicking of the can that's been happening, it's going to stop at some point.
And we either stop it or the can falls off the road and we go with it.
good point. Now, you wrote in your article that few representatives are actually voted out of office because of big spending. And you also mentioned that the waivable debt ceiling that's always paraded around is about as worthless as a 16-year-old installing a porn filter on his own computer. And it could be turned off whenever it suits him, which is like...
Exactly.
So what can be done, sir?
So I take two approaches in my article. The first is we have to change the incentive that Congress has, because right now they don't have any reason to change the spending habit they have. So we need to find a way to make them internalize their own costs. And then the second thing is we need institutional framework that prevents them from actually doing bad things, that prevents backsliding. So, I mean, I was just kind of spitballing in the article. They're not really specific policy things, but for the incentives, I think it would be great if there was some way to cut congressional benefits or salaries or some way that when they pass a huge budget that increases the debt, they bear some of that cost.
Wow.
Term limits would be another option. I'm not really sure how that would play out, but it's definitely an option.
Yeah.
And then my third point on this would be ending federal tax withholding, because that would make constituents really angry about spending.
Now, you mentioned term limits, and that's not a new idea. That's something that's been discussed before by logical people. Why is it so difficult for us to implement term limits?
Well, I have never been fully on board or against term limits. I've sort of been neutral until recently. Because I've done a few internships and things on Capitol Hill, and it's really the congressional staff that are moving and shaking things. So if you institute term limits, you don't really end the power that's driving things on the Hill. I think that's one of the reasons people just don't want to do it. The other is that Congress people aren't going to vote for their own demise by making themselves limited to terms.
Yeah, good point. The ideas that you mentioned, they do seem practical, but overall, is it really in Congress's interest to solve the debt? Especially since robbing Peter to pay Paul seems to be the tried and proven approach to appease special interests. So, I mean, this seems like a good, something good to campaign on. That's about it.
Well, I think the national debt is just the most perfect analogy to the climate change debate, because it's people talking about catastrophe in the distant future that we have to act now. And in this last election, we had so many young people and a very diverse cast brought into Congress. And a lot of that was because they wanted to solve these new dynamic problems. So I think the younger the Congress looks, the more they're going to realize they're the ones paying the bill. But yeah, I don't really see them solving it because, you know, they're living fat cats, getting government payments, and they're famous, essentially. I don't know why they would want to change that. I mean, they're comfortable.
Yeah, and I think that may be the part of the problem. They're just too comfortable. Too comfortable with power.
Which is the reason I brought up federal tax withholding. It would make them uncomfortable. Because as soon as you end withholding, people have to pay their own taxes directly instead of it being taken out of their paycheck. So, I mean, their taxes wouldn't change in terms of the amount. But it's a very different thing when you're deliberately sending money to the federal government and you realize, whoa, I just wrote a check for this much?
I agree.
What are they doing with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do, being self-employed. And I cringe, and I'm, I understand that taxes are a part of maintaining civilization, the country. Mm-hmm. So I understand that I do my part, but I am watching and saying, how much of this, I'd rather keep a lot of this myself as well, as opposed to sending it out into this black hole with no return. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Ben. Now, you mentioned the penny plan. You were talking about that there should be mandatory spending cuts of a certain percentage. This wouldn't cut specific programs or policies, but require X percent each year going forward to be reduced in total spending. And you referenced the penny plan as one such option.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little more about the penny plan?
Yeah, so the idea is basically one penny for every dollar spent, which sounds like a tiny bit when you're really talking about one penny on a dollar, but ultimately it adds up because we have such huge federal spending.
Yeah.
And so going forward, you just reduce spending across the board by that percentage.
Now, is this penny plan, is this being lobbied by anyone, or is this something that you yourself or thought of or put out there into the conversation?
So Sean Hannity is the first one I heard reference the penny plan. I think Mark Levin maybe talks about it. It's definitely out there. It's not my idea, but
okay.
I'm on board with it.
Okay.
I think if there's an easy way to just slowly start cutting back spending and not cut huge amounts right away, and I would do that too, but, you know, to get the ball rolling.
Okay.
Penny plan sounds good to me.
So Congress doesn't have to pass a legitimate budget every year? Or...
Well, they are required to by federal law. But the thing is, they often will do... we have the government shutdown recently because they can't agree on spending. And we frequently have this kind of thing, government shutdowns. Or they have continuing resolutions where they just...
Yeah.
They just keep spending what they did the last time instead of agreeing to a new thing. Or they do these omnibus packages, which aren't really budgets. They contain all sorts of pork and things for special interests and for any number of laws and policies. And it's just all packaged together so that they can get it passed. And that just guarantees an increase of spending. It's basically compromise by addition. You want something, I want something, we can't agree, so we'll add your thing and my thing. And then everyone in Congress votes for it, and it just balloons the deficit even more.
Yeah, and the taxpayers are left holding the bag when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And often the taxpayers don't know what's in those bills. I mean, how many people do you know who've ever looked at the federal budget? Almost no one.
I agree. I don't know. So who are we to blame in that instance? Is that we send the elected officials to Congress to do that on our behalf, but mm-hmm. like you just said, we don't know. So is it really incumbent upon us to go, we need to see what's in it? Unlike Nancy Pelosi, who said, we'll see what's in it after
pass
it passes.
To find out what's
yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is incumbent on us as citizens. You know, the whole idea of this nation is that we're founded on self-governance. We are the ones who are in office. We are keeping the nation going. And I think that also requires a little bit of responsibility. We have to hold leaders accountable, and we have to select leaders who are going to be responsible. And we can run for office ourselves, or we can do things. But, I mean, again, that tax withholding thing is just one way to rile up people
yeah.
to where they're actually holding people accountable.
Now you're a guy. You're a law student. Am I correct, Ben?
Yes, that's correct.
And you write for the Federalist and other places. Do you have any aspirations for political office one day?
I do not at this time. I'm more of a think about policy, maybe help. I might work in government in some way as a policy advisor.
Okay.
That kind of role, but that's not the plan at the moment.
Okay. Not at the moment. Now, I was reading.
Who knows what the future holds?
Yeah, okay, good. Keep the door open because you never know, you know? So they economists say that the national debt is vastly different from the typical household debt. But like any debt, there is interest. So when you owe trillions of dollars and the payment that is made, that's pretty much on the interest, right? Not the principal. Am I correct when I say that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the federal budget, you'll see a lot of money going just to the interest on the debt. I mean, it's a healthy percentage of like 10% or more of our total spending every year.
Jesus, I mentioned earlier that President James Madison called the public debt a public curse, and I also mentioned that only one time in history has the debt actually been paid off, according to my report, and that was with Andrew Jackson. And the debt was paid partially by seized land from the Native Americans. Do you ever, and I'm a pessimist, so if I ever loan you money, Ben, I don't expect you to pay me back. I'm a good person to borrow money from. I'm a pessimist. But do you ever envision a country where the debt is actually paid, or that the debt is going down? Like, not just paying the interest, where we're paying principal, and you'll see the chart of the national debt payment. You'll see the trajectory go downward as opposed to upward. Do you think that is a possibility?
So we have a good yin and yang here, because I'm actually an optimist.
Okay.
So I do think we will be in a better place. I don't know that we'll fully right the ship. I do not think we'll ever get to zero debt, and I don't think we have to. You mentioned Madison. Madison hated debt, and he kind of had a rivalry with Hamilton, who really loved debt, because debt is a useful tool.
It is.
For growth and expansion.
Indeed.
But the thing is, our government doesn't use debt like a business does. We aren't using it to invest in things and to grow our economy, though there are ways to do that in infrastructure-type things and other projects. But the way our government's currently using debt is just to continue financing spending, just across the board generally. So that's not adding growth. It's just spending everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of waste and abuse there too.
That's an excellent point. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's a great point.
Yeah. So one measure of that is the debt to GDP ratio, which you can see the total, national income, how much the whole country is producing, the economy. And right now, our debt is more than our total product. I mean, if we took every single penny in the economy earned each year and tried to pay off the debt, we wouldn't be able to pay it off. We'd still have debt left over.
Right.
But if we can get that ratio way down to where people still will loan us stuff and we can still spend, it's manageable. You can continue with debt. We all know people who are living with debt. They're living.
Yeah.
They're still fine.
Yeah.
Same with the country. We can live with debt. We cannot live with growing, ballooning debt, because especially with interest, like you mentioned, that interest is going to increase.
Yeah.
And if it increases past our ability to pay it because the economy's not growing, that's a really scary situation.
And you mentioned something that I think is I think it flies above people, is that when you say the government continues to spend, this is not a partisan thing, right? This is whatever administration there, Republican, Democrat, the spending is just part of the job nowadays. Just write the check. So
yeah, and one of the things is we have this huge Tea Party movement where we elected a ton of people in 2010, 12, 14, basically on a spending reason. I mean, we said, we're going to put you in Congress, stop the spending, stop the taxing. And we've had ballooning deficits each year since 2010. I mean, the Tea Party didn't fulfill anything because it's both parties.
Yeah. And I believe that's part of the reason why the Tea Party ran out of tea, like, for lack of a better term. Now, also, China is the biggest single holder of our debt. Should that be a national security concern?
I don't want to comment on that kind of thing because it's not really my area of expertise.
Okay. Well, just give your opinion. I will say, I won't hold.
I will say,
I won't hold you to it, Ben.
Foreign adversaries holding debt is generally not a good thing. At any moment, anyone can recall that debt and say, you have to pay us now. And if we just can't pay it, then that is a huge problem for us.
I don't know exactly
how it plays into national security and all that, but I would think it's right to be concerning.
Yeah, because I've seen people who've owed me money and then see pictures of them on Facebook on having a good time somewhere. And I'm pissed when I've seen those pictures. What are you doing out having a good time and you owe me money? So
well,
I'm thinking
it's even worse. Yeah. Because Congress is out spending money and having fun, and it's our money.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah, how about that? So I'm just saying China may go, hey, because clearly the American public isn't going, hey, what's happening, Congress? So maybe it takes a foreign entity to go, you know what? You know, pay us. You know, pay us now. And then we're like, what do you think we were spending all of that money on? Did you see the latest stealth bomber, the 219 version that speaks Chinese fluently? You know, so, you know, I don't know. I just feel like, and Ben, I don't want to pull you into this because I'm not going to say this is Ben Durker and I talking about conspiracy theories. This is just me, but I believe that the United States is building his military just in case a country like China says, we want our money. We're in a position to say, we don't have it. What are you going to do? Come take it? What are you going to do? And China says,
it's worth mentioning. There's a lot of other dynamics in the U.S.-China situation.
Yeah, you're right. I'm oversimplifying it for the audience. You're right.
I don't think it would go straight to military. I mean, it's possible. I don't know. But, I mean, we have trade type things and manufacturing in China. I think there's a lot of buttons you can push before you get to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they rip American intellectual property all the time. Like, there are reasons to be against China, and there are reasons not to want them to hold a lot of our debt. So I'm fully on board with paying that kind of stuff off and getting rid of foreign entanglement.
There you go, Ben. Well, and I called you Ben as if we were sitting at the bar throwing back a few cold ones. I hope you don't mind, sir.
Good to me.
Don't we want the most debt? Because it's kind of like we have the best credit card. Like we get the respect because we are lent so much money.
Because, you know what? I know what you're saying. Because banks lend money to people who really don't need it.
Yeah. Well,
if you think about it.
Yeah. Think about the credit card, though. Who gets the good credit card? It's people who are not a payment risk. They're already well-off people.
Yeah,
we have the biggest, most dynamic economy in the world. Of course, people want to, you know, they think we're a good risk, that they can lend us money and it'll be paid back because we have this huge economy. It's constantly growing. It's very dynamic. It's not going to be disrupted easily. But as soon as the interest rate increases and as soon as the spending gets too high and the GDP is not high enough, the credit rating for the United States will not stay as good as it is.
Yeah.
And then you look like Greece, where immediately you drop 3 or 4 credit ratings right away, and your economy is in shambles.
Why don't we all disagree to be like, and we're starting over now, and everyone's debt gets wiped out, and we just, all right. What would be the difference? Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all made up faith-based economy. That's a good point.
I don't know.
Because the rich people will be really pissed that they're at zero again.
No, just all debt is erased. That's what I'm saying.
So you're just saying erase all debt. Congress says, we hereby declare debt is gone.
They're thinking about doing it with like student loans and things like that.
I don't know. What do you think, Ben? He may have some insight because I'm clueless.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of the national debt is publicly held. So that's things like securities that people basically buy from the government. You give them money, they give you a note that you can redeem later on. So, I mean, those people are expecting that money back. That's us. That's people, companies, groups, individuals. I mean, so if you just said, oh, we're just going to eliminate the national debt, what you're really doing is taking money from people who have invested.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of angry people.
Those people aren't me, so.
Well, that's true. The other thing, though, is intra-governmental debt. A lot of our debt is things that we've promised to pay. So it's, you know, your grandma who's getting Social Security, she expects that to keep going.
Yeah.
And you expect your grandma's Social Security to keep going. And so the debt number that's calculated in the total is part of the stuff that the government owes to itself across departments and things like that.
So what you're saying is we should kill all our grandmas.
Yeah, push them off the cliff, the Paul Ryan plan.
He said the Paul Ryan plan.
I mean, yeah, it does sound poetic to just erase the thing, start at zero, like the Fight Club, you know, idea, just erase all the credit card debt.
Yeah.
But, I mean... that's money people want and are owed their own money.
Yeah, we're hurting ourselves. So that wouldn't work, Garrett. We'll try. We'll figure out something else.
I thought I had something.
Yeah,
I guess I'll have to go back
to the drawing board. We have just as much as Congress has, if that's worth anything. But Benjamin, I don't want us to look like the Bernie Madoff of investments. Like, we're putting this money we're investing, as you said, people are investing in the government. And I don't know, the government is starting to look like Bernie Madoff with this, letting this debt run out of control. I don't know how should I pull out. I mean, I don't have any money but I'm in it, but I mean, I would be thinking, should I pull out at some point before it crashes and burns? And, you know, they'll sell me vouchers for bread. So I'm a little worried, but like you said earlier, what matters really is the debt to GDP, and the debt to GDP level, which isn't in the danger zone now. But like you said,
I think we're close.
Yeah, you may see it in your lifetime, our lifetime. Mm-hmm. So with that, my friend, I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and giving us a quick class on how we can sort of make America solvent again and save some Benjamins in the process. Benjamin Durker saving us some Benjamins. How about that?
I like it.
That might be Ben, if you decide to run and make
a campaign slogan.
There you go. You took the words out of my mouth. Keep up the quality work, my friend, and let our listeners know where they can catch up with you.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Ben Durker or on thefederalist.com or at fee.org, FEE.org.
Fee.org. All right, thanks again, my friend. You have a good weekend. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
All right, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know that this music usually starts after the NFL, but today, due to unforeseen circumstances, we're going to postpone it, the NFL, until next week. And we're going to do a little extra like we always do whenever we miss. We're going to do a little extra next week. This is an abbreviated version of the Safe Space. Still, nothing changed about my feeling towards you. Hopefully, nothing changed as far as your feelings towards me, because the show is a little short. Still, thank you for coming out. God bless, and have a woke weekend. Jizzy, take.
Safe Space was recorded to a hard drive in front of a live audience.